don't know how it's going to go. What in East Dallas is going on?
I'm Camille.
And I'm Rich.
Hey, Rich, today we have Darlene Ellison, and she wears many hats, I will say, but we're going to focus on her role of Lakewood Women in Business, which she founded 17 years ago.
She did. And just to be transparent, she's our banker.
Yes.
For Veritex Bank. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Darlene, you hooked us up when we, because we are a women-owned business, too.
Yes, you are.
With Camille. So thank you for that. So, look, I'm a big advocate for women in business because I think we, let's just say that the leadership was underserved, quite a bit over the past centuries.
I say past ever.
Yeah, ever.
The past ever.
By women. So, and it's so nice that people like you are leading the charge. And you started this before it was cool.
Well, thank you. Wow, Rich, I always thought I was cool, but okay. I actually founded it because I had only been in the banking world for 2 weeks and was, it's a funny story how, I said, what is my job going to be here? I'd gone from being an entrepreneur to being a W-2 employee, family tragedy, blah, 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 led me to this. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what's my job? And they go, well, can you just tell your friends to come into the bank? And I'm like, well, that's not a job. And so I thought, okay, what could I do to really do good things in our community? And I'm from here, born and raised East Dallas. What could I do? What was the gap in the community? What were we missing that would actually toot the horn of, hey, you guys, come on in and come visit, not telling people you needed to bank with me or open an account, but just, hey, let's do something that's meaningful in the community. And I had actually seen a bunch of, I had gone over to Lakewood Country Club and saw people exchange, guys would go work out or go play golf, have a drink, exchange cards, have business. I was like, oh, I need something like the 19th hole. So literally 2 weeks into the role, I created the 19th hole for women. Without the golf.
No. So, yeah. That's ambition.
Yeah, and it's been growing ever since. I mean,
that was 17 years ago.
17 years ago. I gathered, I had, it's funny, when I told some of the guys at the time, it was an all-male board, and I said, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. This will bring people in. And they said, do you think we have enough female entrepreneurs in East Dallas, like, to even, like, have a group?
No.
And I'm like, I'm pretty sure we do. And called 10 of my friends who were all female entrepreneurs, either owned or co-owned businesses here in East Dallas, said, I'm doing this thing. Will you come help me and bring three friends each? And we ended up on the first one having about 30 women in the lobby and had wine and cheese. It was wine, cheese, meet and greet structure, having fun. The mantra of the groups, make friends first and the business will follow. And that whole idea was, it's all.
Yeah.
And it was really, I wanted to gear it towards how women communicate. We know how to make friends.
Sure.
We have to, whether it's at church or in carpool line or at school or whatever it is. And that's how we relate with each other. So I wanted to do that. And I also wanted to make it amenable to, I'd been an entrepreneur. So I knew that you can't put networking in a box and say, and now you need to fit if you want to. I want to do something that was inclusive. So I was moving around the day of the week and the week of the month every month. So like if you had a standard, I have a yoga class. Oh, I have to take my parents to their doctor. Oh, I, have to sit on this board, and that I wouldn't exclude anybody. You might miss 1 month, but you may not miss the next month because we're moving things around.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. So. And now obviously there's like a big movement to, for leaders in businesses to be, to represent their communities, right?
Absolutely.
And, Camille, when we started this, I intentionally partner with women. Not because I'm excluding men, it's just they have a different view of business than I do. And Camille, that's why, I love partnering with you on stuff. It's great. We have two different disciplines. And I do that with my other businesses, too. You and I were talking about that stuff before we pushed record here. And, man, I tell you what, it is like an eye-opener. Like, when you can surround yourself with women in leadership that know what they're doing, man.
I'll have to introduce you to my CEO because I remember the first thing he ever said was, the smartest man in the room is the one who knows and surrounds himself with the right female leaders, because it's a whole different company experience when you do that.
It is.
Yeah. I just feel like women know how to multitask. I mean, once you start having kids and you're working, or even if you're not working, you're taking care of the home, taking care of the kids, taking care of the family. And, you know, women just do that by nature.
We do. Have to. And I don't feel like, you know, I've always said it's not an either or. It's not a right or wrong. Oh. It's I'm a woman in a very male heavy, you know, financial industry. And I will tell you, it's complementary. So when you have that, when you gear it towards that, you know, 50-50, which is always the ideal, you know, number, it's how we all share ideas. When we come together as, in my case, as lenders, and we're all coming together and we're sharing ideas, we're all sharing differently. We all view the world from a different set of glasses.
Sure.
And it's complementary.
Yeah. Right.
And so when you have that, as opposed to everyone being in the same box, yeah. It is amazing what happens. And if you guys, I mean, the types of businesses that women in East Dallas have
unbelievable.
Created, yeah. It is, I mean, if you want to go anywhere, I feel like in this city where people, women, mm-hmm. actually take their passion, take the thing they love the most, and figure out how to make a job of it, and yes. figure out how to get an income from it, East Dallas is it.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, I could name a handful of communities right now that don't have a you, that don't have a woman intentionally saying, hey, let's go. Let's create community here. Let's do something. And let's advocate for ourselves.
Right. And that's kind of why now we're at five women in business groups, because we kept finding
around
that
void. In the DFW area.
Well, at four in DFW. So we started, it had to mimic where my banking locations were. There was only
okay.
one of me.
Okay.
And then we expanded for Park City's North Dallas. So then you had mm-hmm. a Lakewood area women in business, which encompasses the East Dallas community.
Sure.
Then you had Park City's North Dallas. And then, you know, somebody said, hey, you know, what about Collin County? Because North Dallas isn't cutting it for what? Okay, now we have a Collin County women in
wow.
business. Now we have a Tarrant County women in business. And I thought, Fort Worth, man, they got their own thing going. Nobody, I don't know if anyone's going to show up. That room on the first night was insane. There were so many female entrepreneurs.
Wow.
And then with us expanding into Houston back in 2019, we started a Houston area women in business. And
good for you.
Gangbusters. So, well, I appreciate that. But I may be the founder of the group, but I have some fantastic women who work side by side with me in these various markets through Veritex, yeah. who after a long day of work actually go and run these events because I can't be everywhere.
Yeah, but you were the spark that sort of lit the flame, if you will. You know, and I do think, you know, like people like yourself, Camille, you're way more involved than I would ever be. Like you actually, she's very intentional.
She's everywhere.
Seriously. Like yeah. she's very intentional. You know who brings like 90% of our podcast? Well, actually nearly 100% of our people to this show.
No
it's
surprise.
Camille.
Yeah. No surprise.
Yeah. I mean, and she's been here longer, but she knows relationships and she establishes relationships very intentionally. And it's not something that I don't do, but not like you. It's just a different way of looking at it.
Yeah.
It's a different perspective.
Well, yeah. and Camille, I mean, even in her, I've seen her in some of her roles and as an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's not a grab the relationship to get them to buy this or do this. It's foster the relationship, keep the relationship. You know, keep up those communications. And,
right.
and that's something people want to, if Camille asks, people want to say yes.
Right.
Because of, and she exemplifies so many women in businesses, you know,
that's
in
right.
the community. It's because you want to do business with her. You want to be around her. You want to be a part of what she's a part of. And
yeah.
I think that's a big deal. That's that make friends first and the business
yeah.
will follow. This
yeah.
is it.
Yeah.
Well, and Camille, once again, you and I have talked about the good old boy network before.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think the corporate world, I don't even know the word for that. You know, seriously, Darlene, but at the end of the day, that needed to be blown up.
Mm-hmm.
It really did, because it excluded groups and segments of people through our society. And the reality is Veritex Bank, you do business with everyone. You don't care if it's a man or a woman or anyone.
Correct.
But the thought of the leadership team, which it's still like that in most corporations,
yeah,
not being represented with women on the board or in the leadership, in the executive team, it's unbelievable to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, I mentor a lot, and I think you know, one of the things we talked a little bit before we, you know, hit record, but I think it is important as our world evolves and as women in business evolves across and in companies, outside of companies, in our community. I think it's important that not only women we're supporting other good women,
yes,
but it's going to take really good men,
sure,
to say what you just said, Rich,
yeah,
that I stand up for this. I believe in this. I want to be a promoter of this.
Yeah.
And I tell young women today, as our company cultures are shifting.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's, you know, because the old guard is leaving, mm-hmm, or, you know, COVID maybe shifted some ways of thinking. But I tell young women, I do a lot of mentoring of young women, and I tell them that the media will tell you that the world is against you, or Fortune 500 is against you. And I don't believe that. I think that if you are in a space, in a company, in an interview process, and you feel that, that's the wrong company.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there are 10 others that are not like that.
Right.
And you just have to, don't follow the money, follow the happy.
Mm. Yeah.
I think that's important.
Man,
yeah,
that's a good quote by
now. I mean, in your women in business, obviously, there was a need for that support group with how quick it's grown, really.
I'm so tired at the end of the day when we have the days where we have networking socials, and then I get into this room with, you know, and typically Lakewood area women in business will draw 60 women easily,
yeah, yeah,
into the room, and there's always about a third that is there every month, and then you have another a third that's brand new to the group,
yeah,
and then another third that you find that, you know, they come when they can.
Yeah.
And so I call it fresh networking, because it's always something new and fresh. It's not the same old group. It's not the same people. And we actually promote the meet and greet aspect of it, as opposed to sitting at a table, having lectures, things like that. Those are great, and a lot of folks are doing that. So we needed to be something different. We needed to meet women where they were, entrepreneurial women. What did they need? What would they show up for? What would they keep coming back for? And what could we provide them with where they would actually gain something? And I'm telling you, some people will tell you, oh, I didn't get any new customers. I wasn't looking for that. I will see pictures. It's the funniest thing. I'll see pictures on Facebook of like women that I know. And I know that I've seen them talking at Women in Business. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you guys were such good friends that y'all went to the beach together. And they're like, oh, well, we weren't. We met at Women in Business. And now I have a best friend and we go on trips, or someone else who will join someone's business or do a charity event with someone. And, oh, yeah, we met at your group. And that's how this. And so then you go, okay, this is about more than growing my business. It's about growing my relationship.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I read a stat the other day, or it was actually a couple of weeks ago, and it talked about how lenders are, or investors, not necessarily lenders, but investors were less likely to give to women in business, especially in the technology space. Here's the next crazy stat. Women are most likely to succeed in business in the technology space. Doesn't make any sense.
No,
in fact, women do succeed more than men in startups.
But so here's the caveat to that. And that's something that, you know, part of Women in Business was making the banking space a friendly space. You don't have to bank with us to be a part of Women in Business. Never, ever have said that.
Wow, thanks for saying that.
But it creates an openness. It's associated with the bank. It's presented by a bank. The girl who founded it is a banker. But it's really about opening up the educational opportunities, financial literacy for women, because those same women that are in tech and have genius ideas maybe don't have the savvy to present or have the support of what they need to present their financials, to know the difference between lines of credit and you know, we were just talking earlier about the different lines of credit, term loans, you know, revolving loans. What do I need? And we wanted to create a space where somebody will sit down and have that with you without saying, do you need your husband to come along so somebody can understand the numbers? And that's something that I've had customers tell me was said to them at another financial institution. So our gap is not so much the ideas, the ability. The women have the ability. They have the know-how. They have the smarts. But it's the knowing how to come to the ask. The being prepared for whether it's the financing or the pitch for investors. It's so really helping women fill that gap.
I see. Absolutely incredible, because I actually had Michelle at a meeting today in Plano, and I dragged Michelle with me. Why? Because I wanted a woman in the room that knew what she was doing, and they look at her differently. It's all guys in a room, and then Michelle and myself. She was the only woman in the room. Not kidding you. But I did it intentionally. I'm like saying she knows her stuff. She's great with partners, all of that. And so, and she brings that to the table. It's not something that I could bring to the table.
Which is, I mean, that's so forward thinking for you. So thank you for that. And I, you know, I
don't know.
So
I just see it as smart, but I'm no dummy.
Well, exactly. but that's, you know, when I tell these young women that we're fostering and mentoring today, we used to say, make sure you have a seat at the table.
Yes.
And now I'm like, seat at the table's not enough.
Nope.
We need to have a voice.
Yeah.
You need to listen carefully and then have a voice.
Yeah.
Be a smart voice at the table. Be a different voice at the table. Mm. And that's important.
Yeah.
Wow. I tell you what, we're gonna take a quick break, Camille. And then I wanna get into your story a little bit because you're an author. You have some an interesting background, to say the least. You've gone through some stuff.
That would be true. Gone through some stuff.
She's gone through some stuff. She's gone through some stuff. And, you know, everyone has to some degree, but your stuff was a little extra. It was a little public. But, and then how you got to East Dallas. And then, what brought you to this, is it Epiphany? Epiphany?
Epiphany.
Epiphany.
Yeah.
Epiphany, I'm a communications person, can't talk. We'll be right back.
All right.
Camille, when you have a medical emergency, you really want to get somewhere fast.
Yes, time is of the essence, and you want to make sure you're in good hands.
Lucky for us, right here in East Dallas, we have the convenience of White Rock Medical Center.
With a full-service emergency room led by Dr. David Derrigan.
And they're open 24 hours a day and easily accessible right off of Buckner Boulevard.
Yes, at 9440 Poppy Drive.
If you want more information about White Rock Medical Center, go to whiterockmedicalcenter.com. That's whiterockmedicalcenter.com. And we're back with Darlene Ellison, Women in Business.
Women in Business. And let's talk about Darlene a little bit. Born and raised in East Dallas.
Which, okay, so you could probably count on your hand how many people were actually born and raised here. Seriously?
I would disagree.
Okay.
No, for East Dallas, there's a lot.
East Dallas, there's actually a lot. I find that. Yeah, I mean, I'm from a family where my dad moved to East Dallas when he was 13 from Mississippi. And
what
my
part
mom,
of Mississippi?
Jackson.
Okay.
Mom, born and raised right here in Lakewood.
Okay.
And then, you know, siblings all here and kids all here and everybody's gone to the same schools.
Where'd you go to school?
So grade school was St. Thomas Aquinas.
Okay.
And then high school was Bishop Lynch.
Okay.
And my dad went to Woodrow. My mom went to Ursuline.
Okay.
Sister and I went to Bishop Lynch and my little brother went to Woodrow. So we're all things, you know, in the area.
Yeah.
And both my kids went to Bishop Lynch. And I volunteered for years when I was in my early 20s at Woodrow. So I felt like I kind of was a, you know, honorary student there as well, you know, working with the kids in the theater department. So I had a lot of fun. So love all our schools.
She is definitely, your roots are here.
Yeah.
Your dad, what brought him from Mississippi? I call Mississippi, by the way, the drive-through state.
Yeah.
Don't stop.
My dad would say the same.
Really? Just keep going. Yeah. Just take 40. What is that? Interstate? What is that? 40?
Yeah. Just,
it doesn't matter. Just keep going. Just keep driving.
So his dad was actually in his parents were both born and raised in Mississippi, and his dad was actually a newspaper person and got hired over here by the Dallas Morning News at the time, or Dallas Times Herald, one of them, when we had two full newspapers.
Yeah. Gosh.
So, and got hired over here and came here, and my grandmother was a teacher and historian. And
wait, she was a historian?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, really?
And, I mean, she kept amazing that the history that she collected and kept. And we lost her, you know, when I was still a teenager, which was so sad because she was just the most brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Do you have some of the stuff she used to collect over the years?
You know, my dad still has some. My dad is still alive.
Okay.
Live and well here in Dallas.
Is he in East Dallas?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they live right here in Lakewood. Mom and Dad do.
Are you serious?
Yeah, they.
We should get him on the show.
He's
That'd
awesome.
Be amazing. Okay, no, seriously, I'm being serious because I would love to talk about the news back then, like the news, like how everything
papers.
And all that other
you know,
stuff.
He could. That was my grandfather that worked for.
Oh, okay, that was your grandfather.
Yeah, my dad's a banker, So retired, our recovering banker.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, definitely.
Uh-huh. Who'd he work for?
And he was with like Exchange Bank and then First Interstate and became Allied, became First Interstate, became Wells Fargo. But he was here in Lakewood, retired early, was good done with him. Banking. Yeah. And yeah, and that was the one thing I swore I'd never do.
Interesting.
And you're doing it.
Many siblings do you have?
There's three of us.
Okay, boy, girl.
I'm the oldest, okay. And then I have a younger sister, 2 years younger. Okay. She just moved out of East Dallas, so because her daughter is going to go to school at Ursuline, and they decided to live a little closer to the school.
Really?
And my brother still lives here. He's 6 years younger than I am, and he still lives here, and his kiddos are here, and he's got, you know, one at Bishop Lynch.
And then your kids are grown adults now.
They are.
And
Does one of them
live here at East Dallas?
So yes, so my son, he's the one who just got married.
Yeah,
and he lives here in East Dallas as well. He and his bride, and my daughter is, she's gone to the dark side. She lives in Houston.
No, we're gonna have to let you go.
She doesn't love Houston. She's a neuro trauma nurse. She lives in the Texas Medical District.
So, down.
Yeah. Yeah. She's a trauma nurse and loves her hospital system. Doesn't love Houston, but we'll see. I'm working on getting back. I always
tell people if I had to live in Houston for work, I would live in the Woodlands, first of all. I love the Woodlands. But I would tell everyone that I live 3.5 hours south of Dallas.
Yeah, I understand.
45. Isn't that Houston? You're like, no, it's nowhere near Houston. It's like south of Dallas.
Yeah.
I just came from Houston today. And you know,
really?
Yeah, and it's last night we walked back to the hotel a few blocks and my husband was like, "Oh, I don't know if we should do this cuz it was just the number one city for not necessarily murders, but not crime, but violent crime.
Oh. Part of that is the zoning issues.
Yeah. Well, no. There aren't zoning.
Right, correct.
There's none.
Zoning issues mean there is no zoning. Yeah. When my daughter moved there, I said, so remember how you used to go jogging around, you know, East Dallas when you lived here with me?
Yeah.
We don't do that there.
Yeah. No.
You go to a gym.
That's a non-negotiable.
Yeah.
Okay. So I got a question for you, Darlene. How did you come to the conclusion that you needed to impact the community in some capacity? Like what in your background brought you here, I guess?
Well, I think I've always been, I mean, my family, I remember my dad teasing me going, why are you doing all this extra stuff? Are you getting a paycheck? I'd be like, no, Dad, I just love volunteering. So that was kind of in my nature. I've always been a volunteer here. I mean, even when I, you know, whether I was in school and involved after school, I mean, Lakewood Service League, which is a longstanding organization here in East Dallas. And, you know, I was 21. And I was the only unmarried, no kids member of Lakewood Service League the year I joined. But I had friends who were old. And that's how I have all these friends that are, you know, 5, 10 years older than I am here in Lakewood. It's because of that experience.
Really?
I just loved volunteering, loved being a part of the community. Always volunteer for July 4th and the parade. And, you know, and it was just kind of part of my nature.
Okay.
And I think that's actually why when we had our family situation or that – the bank actually approached me knowing what we might be going through to say, hey, do you want to come work for us? And I'd be like, why are you? I don't want to be a banker.
Mm.
And they were like, you have a finance degree. Yes, but I don't want to be a banker. My dad was a banker. I don't want to be a banker.
Yeah.
And their whole point was, but you know everybody. Yeah. You volunteer. Mm-hmm. You're in the community. You could tell people about us.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's not a job.
Right.
But it somehow was.
But it led you to start Women in Business, which...
100%.
Yeah, I mean, which now has a broader impact than you would have probably ever...
Yeah, absolutely. I still say thanks to all those guys who now, several of them, we're still all friends, and several of them, even though they're not involved in the bank necessarily where they've retired, but they still love to all, you know, take credit, you know, and I'm like, yeah, you are the one who brought me here. Yes, you are the one that brought me here.
Wow.
But it's, you know, it was just... I never imagined a million years. I wasn't necessarily doing it to have longevity. You know, we're going to do this and we're going to create something that'll be here 25 years. I mean, that wasn't the idea. The idea was simply to do something. You know, my philosophy, even from a sponsorship or donorship, you can write a check.
Sure.
But what are you actually doing for the community? And, right. and we do need people to write checks to different things.
Yep.
100%. I mean, I've been on the development committee for plenty of nonprofits.
Yep.
And then you need the doers.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to do something, though, that actually was more, that people would say, okay, we're actually doing something great in the community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our bank is not just supporting this or saying, hey, go, women, go. I mean, we could write donations to a bunch of women organizations, couldn't we? Or we could have the Women in Business program, which actually also, you know, has, I mean, it's not so much the accounts that are a big deal, but the networking and a summer internship program.
Wow.
Like, these are things that make the community a better place.
Well, yeah. And when someone's an entrepreneur, you feel like sometimes you're on an island, right? Because yep. you're not working in a work environment or anything. Mm-hmm. So an organization like yours really helps get them reconnected and feel that, like, something that you would have if you worked in an office, right? And you saw people every day.
Right.
They're all out on islands, and I'm like the party boat that comes and picks them up on the islands for a 2-hour cruise. And then they can all go back on their islands and, you know, be entrepreneurs. But
that's a good point, Camille, because that allows the women to connect and say, hey, I have this problem.
Yeah.
But, you know, and how did you deal with it? Or it fosters relationships in a very authentic, genuine way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The peer mentorship that happens is amazing. And
wow.
because part of the diversity we have is diverse. It's not, people think of diversity and they immediately think race.
Mm-hmm.
And we have that diversity.
Sure.
But we have diversity in ages. We have mm-hmm. diversity in types of businesses. We have home-based businesses. We have women who work in a common space. We mm-hmm. have, you know, women who are partners in companies. And you have everything. And now we have the surge of, we have these women who are in their late 20s, early 30s that are coming. We have women that are 60 years old that are finally following their passion and starting a new little business. Mm-hmm. And so it's absolutely mind-blowing. This was never the intent, but I sure am glad it's the end result.
There's a reoccurring theme here that we have found with some of our guests, to be honest with you. And one of them is a lot of them, like, you know, Juliet, the Foundation and
yeah.
what they have. Same thing. It was just like they wanted to start something, but they never really knew what happened. Like, they plant a seed of a tree in which they'll never see. It's like you kind of did the same thing. You had no idea. You just know you had a passion for something and you wanted to get it started, and you did.
Yeah.
And now here you are. You know, and just to show her dedication, we mentioned that she's an author,
mm-hmm.
right? So you went through, you know, some life.
Crazy life
crazy.
Stuff. Danielle Steele novel type stuff.
It was. And what year was that?
Right here in East Dallas.
Yes.
Okay. What year was that?
It was 2005.
And, okay. you know, I have to say, always, like, you know, because I lived here and knew the story and how hard it would be for so many people to be right here where you were raised, all your friends are, go through something like that. They could have just stuck their head in the sand, moved, right?
Thought about it.
But you held your head high.
Yep.
I mean, you didn't do anything,
right.
but, you know, people still, that's a lot to go through. And you held your head high,
yeah.
and look how much you've overcome.
And like, she's
where you are now.
And it shows your dedication. And do you want to tell everyone where to get your book?
I mean, if they want to attempt to get it, it's online.
I mean, look, we don't want
it anymore. But, yeah.
Okay, yeah, but we don't want to.
Sure. Now, yeah, if they yeah, can but, find it online, it's in their Kindle versions called
okay.
The Predator Next Door.
The Predator Next
mm-hmm.
Door.
Yeah. And so it was published in 2009,
yeah.
I believe.
So they can go read about it and stuff. But what, I mean, really, it's really amazing. You went through that and then you're like, look at you now.
Thriving.
You know, it's fine. Well, thank you. Thank you both. Keep it coming.
I mean, it's your life. You are, though.
It's so funny because I don't, you know, I put one foot in front of the other and
yeah.
I, you know, sip wine on my, you know, back deck, just like all the other. I mean, I'm just a normal girl who had this crazy circumstance. I happened to be at the time a mother of a 7 and 9 year old who needed me to make good decisions. And, you know, people who know me only as a banker who have said, wow, you know, I could have never done that. Or how did you do all that? And I said, you know, I love being a psychologist. I practiced for 12 years. It was an amazing career, amazing. You know, we had built this huge, it was an entrepreneurial endeavor, and I still miss it sometimes. But I will tell you that I think that I was led to be a practicing psychologist for the day. I had to tell my children what was going on in their lives and to be able to have the conversations. And then eventually being able to, speak out about it. And I used to tell my kids, because it was all over, and I was like, well, if the media was going to talk about it, they were going to do it on my terms, not on theirs.
Right.
And so, I always told my children, you know, the truth will set you free. And I do believe that when it comes to tragic things in your life, when it comes to things that are embarrassing, there was shame and just, what do I do? And yes, I cried a lot for 9 months. I wanted to leave. I wanted to put my head in the sand. I wanted to go. I was going to go move to a cute little ranch in Mineola, Texas.
Where?
Mineola, Texas.
Where's that?
Outside of Huntsville, East Texas. And I was just... I just didn't want to be here anymore, but so thankful that the psychologist in me said, keep your children grounded.
Wow.
Keep them normal. Keep normal, because there's nothing normal about this. So give them normal.
Yeah. And what examples you set for them to overcome.
Oh my goodness.
Face what's happening. Have your own voice.
Be transparent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And... You'll overcome it, and you did.
Yeah.
I mean, what a life lesson, and to get it from their mother.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
How long was it after you got the job at Veritex?
Oh, gosh. Pretty immediately, because I remember in my interview, it wasn't really an interview process. It was really them trying to convince me to come work at the time. And at the time, it was called Professional Bank. It was only 2 years old, so eventually Malcolm Holland's holding company, Veritex, would buy us, which was a great thing.
Okay.
But it started out, and they kept talking to me about it, and part of that process was, so it must have been around 2009, because I had to share with them, they were setting a start date for me, and I had to share with them that I was going to be on the Oprah Winfrey Show doing an interview, so that I was not going to be able to be here Thursday and Friday. And I remember the gentleman, he's no longer there, but I remember his face going, oh, okay. And his eyes were big, and he's like, what do I do with that information? So it was kind of funny. And I think that, you know, gosh, I don't know. None of it seems like real life, but it is real life.
Wow.
And I think it's, if there's a way that what I and my children, what we've been through, is it helps others, whether it's those circumstances or more importantly, just everybody has trauma in their life. Everybody has loss in their life. And and if I can be a poster child for just overcoming obstacles, and this is, you know, life's messy. Ooh, it messy?
Yeah.
And mine's about as messy as they come. And if you can still come out the other side and say, you know, but I'm still here. I'm still here, and I've got a smile on my face.
Yeah.
What an inspiration.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. No, thank you. If you're a woman in business and you just need somebody to talk to because you're having a hard time, like, call Darlene.
Seriously. Though, make friends first, and the business will follow. Really was coming from my heart, because I truly believe that without the relationships, without relationships across the board, those people who I trusted to be my friends during the most difficult time, and the people I trusted in this new endeavor, becoming a banker.
How old were you, if you don't mind me asking?
When everything happened, 39, I think.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. I'm 56 now. I don't hide it.
Yeah. You look amazing.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing, but a lot of women, they'll go through these types of tragedies at, you know, all ages, but you basically just said it doesn't really matter. You can get through it. It doesn't matter. It's not too late to thrive.
And it's not too late to follow your happy. It's not too late to get rid of baggage. I mean, it's never too late. We are constantly evolving. And when you embrace that, you know, I used to say, if somebody came up to me, I spoke all over the country when I had, I spoke all over the country for 5 years, and I'd have people come up to me going, oh, I could have never survived what you did. And I would think, you don't know what you can do until it slaps you in the face.
Well, you had no choice. You have to survive, right?
Well, everybody makes that choice.
Well, you got to get through it. I mean, now they don't, but
you're right.
You just, you have to keep going. You had your kids.
Yeah.
Some people, not just women, but people, mm-hmm. when tragedy strikes like that, they go into a hiding place. Yeah. They go into
a
corner.
Put their head in the sand.
Yeah. And
or kick things under the carpet.
But it's sad because they're still alive. You're still alive.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see that. But you have come out not just fighting, but like showing women and being that leader and that hero that women need to see, that need to be around.
Wow.
I love that.
Wow, I appreciate that. Here is a strong word, but it, and like I said, it was messy. But I even in banking, I'd have people come in going, oh, we would start talking and they'd be like, oh, wait, that was you? Why didn't you tell us, or that you're the author of this?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell us? And I said, well, I'm trying to get you to open your bank accounts with me. That'd be a weird thing to start with, wouldn't it?
Does have a point there.
That's
amazing.
Funny.
Man, Camille, I don't have, that's amazing.
Yeah.
We could leave on that. I mean, this is a community podcast, but that just, man.
Well, let's tell everyone how they can find out more about the Women in Business.
Absolutely. So probably the best thing to do is they can either reach out to me directly at my email, dellison@veritexbank.com. They can also find out information about the Women in Business program collectively at veritexbank.com. And on the About Us page, there's mm-hmm. actually a Women in Business link. And it'll take you to a page that yep. gives you information about the summer internship programs, information about upcoming events for all five of our groups. And we try to keep them updated 3 months at a time. We just, you know, request that if somebody wants to attend an event, they reach out to me first.
Got
so
it.
We can add them to the list and they can have the opportunity to RSVP.
And you can see all the amazing women right here.
Yeah.
So nice.
And
I
you have
it.
Your Facebook page.
People yes, we do. Thank you. Yes, we do. We have a Lakewood Area Women in Business Facebook page. You do have to answer some questions to be admitted because we do try to keep it to where it's a voice of women who are actually
sure.
in business
okay.
in East Dallas.
Good. Okay, good point. And we need to list some of her events on our event page.
Yes. Yes, we can do that. 100%.
I know, Camille told me I needed to put them in.
I know.
Come
I told
on.
Her the link. I said, make sure you put them on there.
I'm so sorry. And I did. I even clicked on it one day, and then my phone rang or something, and I didn't
get distracted.
Wow.
It happens.
Well, thank everyone at Veritex Bank for allowing Darlene to do this.
Yes.
I appreciate it. I'm there. I am very, very supported. You know, our internal mantra is, you know, be true to you.
Yeah.
And they know that this is a passion of mine, and it's a mission and vision that is both personal and professional. And so the support that I get with which all the men and women embrace within our culture at Veritex is just amazing. So I'm very appreciative.
Wow.
Well,
man.
I know, right?
This
amazing.
Is like, I'm so glad that we signed up with Veritex. You know, one of the things that Camille and I wanted to do was everything that we do, we wanted to do keep it local here. We didn't yeah. want to outsource. We didn't want to go to a big thing. We wanted to do everything local.
Which is so important because we're such a live local community.
Mm-hmm. It's
I mean, unbelievable. We really are. And people yeah. are so loyal. I mean, I tell people all the time, our women in business, like I tell them, if you're looking for a particular type of service or vendor, whatever, touch base with me and let me go through the list and see if we have anybody. Because
sure.
if you say, hey, I need an estate attorney, like I'll go through and I'll give you a list of all the estate attorneys who are on my list. I would rather us keep it local
yeah.
and keep our dollars in our community.
Mm.
I mean, it's, and the beauty of what our group does too is that we align with the other groups. We align with the Greater East Dallas Chamber of Commerce mission and vision.
Yeah.
And then you have the Lakewood Area Women in Business. Mm-hmm. You have East Dallas Networking. It's like we're all aligning so that we're all the mantra for all of us is live local, keep it local, support local. And that
right.
is so important because mm-hmm. that keeps your business community thriving.
It does.
Yeah.
And it keeps people employed locally here, which supports our schools, supports everything that we do.
100%.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want to change the world, start in your community.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Darlene.
All right, Camille. Wow. This was a good one. And we even know Darlene.
I know. We're still like in awe.
Unbelievable. Well, that's all I got for this week. I mean, I could sit here and talk to you forever. So,
thank
you know, once again, go to veritexbank.com and then you'll be able to find under the About tab the Women in Business
Correct.
Page.
Correct. Yeah. And they're welcome to reach out to me anytime.
Okay. You heard her first. Get to her. All right, that's all I got, Camille. What in East Dallas is going on?
I don't know. Stick around. We'll find out.
See you guys.